Win stacks of cash by entering the 150K Crack the Code giveaway, brought to you by your local paper, now through July 14th. Look for the code on page A2. Then visit 150kgiveaway.com and submit your entry. You could win the grand prize of $100,000. Grab the paper every day. Get the code on page 2A and improve your chances to win tons of weekly cash prizes. Visit 150kgiveaway.com for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Bookmarks. This is a podcast focused on books, authors, writing, literacy, and pretty much all things related to the written word. Bookmarks is brought to you by The Oklahoman and is produced by Paige Dillard. I'm your host, Ken Raymond. I'm the newspaper's book editor, as well as a senior feature writer and columnist. You can check out my book reviews, author interviews, and purely subjective columns online at oklahoman.com. If you're not already a digital subscriber, you can sign up there. So today I have two incredible women with me. Lauren Roth is an advertising professional and freelance writer who pens the Last Laugh column for 405 magazine each month. It's on the very last page of the magazine, so readers leave with a smile. One of her recent columns is about something I'm very guilty of, I suspect probably most of us are, and that's misunderstanding lyrics in the songs that we go ahead and sing anyway. She's here to talk with us mainly about her new book, 100 Things to Do in Oklahoma City Before You Die. It's the second edition of that book, and we'll get to what that means in just a moment. Also here is one of my favorite book reviewers, Marcy Everhart. You've read her reviews in The Oklahoman and online. She's a terrific writer, every bit a pro, with a unique voice, a great imagination, and a wonderful sense of humor. So I'm here with two very funny, talented writers, and they're stuck with me. Ladies, I'd like to welcome you both to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. Ken, I wanted to say that I think you underestimate yourself. You're also a supremely talented writer, and people don't know how funny you are behind the scenes on Deadline.
Well, I appreciate that.
And it's a joy for me to get to work with you.
I'm glad to finally meet you in person. We've yes. done a lot of work by email, but this is the first time I've met both of you, so it's wonderful.
You know, it's funny. I was looking up somebody's email address today, and I came across a 2012 email from you, and we were working on a press release for the JFK Awards, and you had been so helpful, and I just thought, yeah, we kind of go back a few years.
I guess so, yeah. That's kind of crazy. Yeah, you know, let me go ahead and bring this up since I mentioned it earlier. I said that this was the second edition of 100 Things to Do in Oklahoma City Before You Die. What does that mean, and why is that significant, that it's not the first, it's the second?
Well, that is correct. This is the second edition. The first edition was published in 2016 by Reedy Press, and it was written by another author. And between 2016 and today, the publisher contacted me and said that it was time to update the book. I don't know if the previous author is still in the market. I really don't know, but... Anyway, so they asked me if I would be interested in updating the book. It's completely rewritten. It's 100 things to do. So there may be similar destinations, but it's all original content, all new content for 2019. What's significant about it is that if you just think back to everything that has appeared in Oklahoma City since 2016, I think you could do an entire list based on that. Just at the time that the first edition was written, all of the river sports stuff was very nascent, very new, and the boathouses were in place, but all of that activity has just really exploded in the last few years. So that's just one example. Music venues, restaurants, all so many locally owned retailers have come onto the scene. So what's significant is just that those are being introduced in the book, and they're all worth checking out.
Well, there's another more practical reason why they had to have you redo the book as well, right?
That's correct.
What happened?
I guess there was some inventory of the first edition in the warehouse at Reedy Press in St. Louis, and the warehouse caught on fire, burned down. They had all these books, all these editions in there that was a complete loss and a big news story in St. Louis at the time. So maybe that first edition is super valuable now. Since, you know, if you happen to have picked that up, you might check on it on eBay and see what it's going for. But yeah, it's now rare. Yeah, well done, but rare.
But yours is very valuable as well, especially for people currently living here.
Yes, I hope it proves to be valuable. I think if you have people coming in from out of town, if you're just looking for ideas about new things to do, things to explore, I think there's a lot of value there. Inside the book, I give some tips and pointers for readers that might have to do with something as basic as, you know, a restaurant that takes cash only, or if you're going, one of the entries is the Butcher Barbecue Stand, and if you're going up the turnpike, if you're from out of town, you may not have a pike pass, so you'll have to pay a toll when you exit. You'll want to have cash for that. So just, I try to put in some tips where I think it's helpful, or maybe where to park, things like that.
I had no idea we had one of those cool barbecue places that, you know, are so elusive. You know what I mean? They're
yes.
only open certain times. They run out of food in 2 hours. You got to have cash. And
yes.
in our case, you got to drive to the Wellston exit off the turnpike and, you know, and have your quarters. I had no
yes.
idea that we had that kind of cool thing.
Yes. And you've got to get in line really early because they will run out. And one of the things about that Butcher Barbecue Stand is you got all these offerings on the menu, and then for dessert, Twinkies $1.
I read that. Twinkie for $1. And what is their saying or their sign or
they
whatever?
They say, we're barbecuers, not bakers.
That's so hilarious.
That's legit.
Yes.
And of course, Twinkies are supposed to last forever, so.
Exactly. They don't at my house, but
Well, how did you go about deciding which places and events to include in this? I mean, I'm sure that's a really long answer, but maybe just in general, how'd you do it?
Well, you know, I'm from Oklahoma City originally, and I think of certain destinations as being must-sees for anyone who comes from out of town or anyone who's new here or, you know, I was well into adulthood before I ever went to the National Cowboy Hall of Fame.
Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum.
Yes.
Holy cow.
I was an adult before I ever went. And I think that's probably common that you may live here and you haven't fully appreciated the things around you that there are to do. So there are things like, you know, say the cowboy that would be conspicuously missing if they weren't on a list like this because of their value and their, you know, everything they have to offer, how much they're appreciated. So So that makes that part of the list easy. The hard part is everything else. I think the best thing to do is start with food because everybody eats, everybody's interested, and I have an advertising background. That's my day job, and I do enjoy a little focus group. So I did a lot of surveying. Everybody in my office, all my friends, I did Facebook surveys, and I just wanted people to weigh in on some of the different categories. And then I would just sort of go from there. But a lot of them, a lot of us agree on some of the entries, but one of the things that we were talking about early was, were there any sentimental favorites or anything, did nostalgia play into that?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. You know, were any of your choices nostalgia driven? And can you share an anecdote about that?
Yes. A lot of them are nostalgia driven. You know, juniors, any any trip to Juniors is an experience. And, you know, it's an Oklahoma City landmark, an icon. The cake at Leo's Barbecue, the strawberry banana cake, I feel very nostalgic about that. And I have a lot of great memories associated with Vito's Italian and Sean Cummings' Irish Pub that we were talking about before the podcast began. Just a lot of anywhere where I have fond memories attached. To me, that's nostalgia. I have a lot of nostalgia for a State Fair cinnamon roll or Eichen's. And what I notice in the theme of that answer is that most of my nostalgia is somehow linked to food. So, and maybe that's true for everyone.
I suspect that probably is. I mean, people talk about Eichen's like it's the greatest thing in the world. I've never made it out there. But
what?
Yeah, I haven't done it, but I think I'm going to have to at some point.
That needs to be a priority this weekend. But right. You will need cash because they don't take credit cards.
So there's
Ken,
one of the
gonna
tips.
We're going to have to go together. I've never been there either.
What?
Wow,
I know, right?
I don't even know you people. I can't believe it.
Well, that's incredible.
Oh, wow. You're in for a treat. Eichen's, they make no pretense about what they are. It's just fried chicken, and they have great fried okra. And, you know, they haven't worried too much about aesthetics. So they can focus on the chicken that way.
So what places didn't make your list but almost did? What were some of the also-rans?
Well, there were several places that were either too new or not exactly in operation, just coming into operation at press time. So it pains me to have been there since the book has been published and just have a great experience and think, oh, they're not in the book. The top of that list would be Ned's Starlight Lounge on North May, which is in the location where the Nomad was, I want to say about 70th and North May. And if you've lived in Oklahoma City for any length of time, you're probably familiar with the Nomad. And so it grieves me that the Nomad is not on the list, because they certainly would have been, but they had closed by then. I miss the Fleetwood pizza with the fried pepperoni, and I've missed Bean Day every Thursday at lunch. And so I've been mourning that. But in its place is Ned's Starlight Lounge. And if you're familiar at all with Ned's catering, then you know why I gush when I talk about it.
Ned's Starlight Lounge.
It's everything Starlight, you imagine.
With Starlight in the name, you know it's going to be magical, right?
Yes, it's so, certainly heavenly. I will say that.
So, Lauren, are you saying that you've seen your Patronus there?
You know, I believe that my Patronus is a possum. That I've never lived anywhere where I didn't have a possum under the deck in the backyard. And so throughout my life, I don't know, is that my spirit animal? Possibly lurks around at night. So that could be
persistent.
But, yes.
Dogged.
But
determined.
I would hate for anyone to come away from this thinking that you can get some grilled possum at Ned's Starlight Lounge, because right. That is certainly not on the menu. But if you came to my house, I might be able to throw one on the barbie for you.
What about some places that were legendary, iconic, but have closed?
Yes, Nomad is one of those.
I'll be honest with you. I mourn Molly Murphy's and wish someone would resurrect that quirky idea again with waitstaff in full costume who never break character as like Little Bo Peep, Groucho Marx, Columbo,
yes.
And such.
Yes.
So maybe your next edition can have an entire section for like prom date restaurant recommendations.
Yes. That would be good. I did have a few dates at Molly Murphy's. And do you remember what a production they would make when it was your birthday and, you know, they bring out the marching band? It was over the top. I miss Molly Murphy's. I miss Molly Murphy's. I miss Crystal's Pizza. Ken, I don't know if you lived here when Crystal's Pizza was still around, but
I have to say that a lot of these places aren't familiar to me, in part because I'm not very adventurous, but also because I moved here almost 20 years ago.
Okay, okay.
So some of them I just don't know about.
Yeah, so Crystal's would predate your arrival. So Crystal's Pizza was this great place. It was the Northwest Expressway and Rockwell. And you'd go in and order your pizza, and then the whole restaurant was sort of divided into these private rooms, really not too much bigger than the studio that we're in right now. And you could go in and watch different, you know, genres of movies. There was, you know, one that was dedicated just to Laurel and Hardy movies, and then another one would be just cartoons, and they had games and just different things, you know, depending on what your mood was that night. So Crystal's was always a great destination. If you're not very adventurous, I hope this book changes that. Yeah, with some good ideas.
I'm sure my wife will appreciate it if I do step out of my comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Just keep the book on the dash of your car, and if you can make it to as far as the car, then maybe she can direct you from there. I also miss Harry Bear's. I miss the fried peaches. So, Harry Bear's, wherever you are, please come back with Molly Murphy's and Crystal's.
Right.
I think the market is ready for Molly Murphy's again.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think it would be a huge hit.
I think
you
took
and
a
I
little
need
time
to
recover from Molly Murphy's, but yeah. Yeah, maybe you and I can figure out what our characters are and start it up. That'd be good.
Let me get back to the book for a moment. You know, obviously it's 100 things to do in Oklahoma City before you die, but it's not all going to a restaurant, or it's not all going to see the Thunder play. How do you have it organized, and is it really easy to, you know, kind of flip through and find the section you want?
It's very very organized. I've got it divided into 5 categories: food and drink, music and entertainment, sports and recreation, history and culture, and then shopping. So it's so depending on what your outing is. Also, there in the back, I've set up some different itineraries depending on the occasion or the activity. So maybe for date night, I have a list of suggested itineraries. And then if you are an adrenaline junkie, here are some activities that you should check out. Music lovers, museum lovers, shoppers, whatever. Or if you've got kids, here's the list of activities. And there's so much of the summer still left that a lot of these things are great pastimes for families with kids.
You know, we talked a little bit about how from the outside, this book sounds like it was a ton of fun to write. I mean, you get to go to all these restaurants, you get to go to all these events, but it wasn't just a breeze. This took some doing.
Yes. Yes.
I was going to say that I love the idea that you're going and doing all of these things in the name of research.
Yes.
You know, like, hubby, grab your shoes. We got to go indoor skydive tonight.
I'm going to need one more piece of pie from Pie Junkie before I feel like I can really get my mind around, before I can get in my writing zone. So, yes, yes, there was a lot of that kind of research, of course. So, It was a lot of fun to write. It's also a lot of work. Just as the city evolves, so much changes and things close, things open, and, you know, you got to get out there and check them out. My husband and I have 6 kids between us, like Mike and Carol Brady. We're just missing the Alice.
That's integral.
Yeah, that's probably the one you want the most.
She is. We should have started with Alice. So, but with 6 kids, I feel like I've been in training my entire life to write a book like this. And yes.
How did you find the time? I mean, with 6 kids.
Well, if I look like I haven't slept much, it's because I haven't. It's a lot of nights and weekends, because I do have a day job, and the day job is demanding enough. So you just really have to buckle down sometimes. So sometimes on a writing marathon, it was not as fun as I know you know as a writer. sometimes you just have to put the pedal to the metal and get through it.
Yeah, it's never as romantic as people think it is.
No, and people go, oh, you can write from anywhere. And it's sort of true, but it is a hard job.
I do my best writing, doing dishes and driving the car.
Yeah.
When I have no access, you know, to a keyboard or a piece of paper.
Right. I write a lot in my head. Then it's easy, because then when you sit down, all you have to do is type. But it is a lot of work, because, you know, anything, if you're going to write anything, my mom told me one time, I've written for the magazines now for 13 years, and I do have the humor column, Last Laugh, and usually that's a personal anecdote, but I write about real things, too. I mean, not that those aren't real, but I write about other things that real people might be interested in the magazines as well. And my mom told me one time, you know, you sound like you really know what you're talking about in those articles.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, I'm not making it up. I've had to look it up or research it or interview someone and find the information. So I guess as far as the article's concerned, yeah, I knew what I was talking about.
I gotta say, though, my entire career, I've had this feeling that at some point people are gonna be like, oh, wait, he's not really very good. You know, like they're gonna realize all of a sudden that I've just had him snowed the whole time.
So. No. I think people have a lot of anxiety about writing, writing well, for sure.
That's a difficult thing.
That brings me to my next question, which is, I noticed that the book is simply dedicated to Elizabeth. So who is Elizabeth in your life?
I love that you're asking me this. Elizabeth is Elizabeth Beard, and she was my first editor. Before it was 405 Magazine, it was Slice Magazine. And before it was Slice Magazine, there were five titles in the Metro. Edmond Monthly, Norman Living, Nichols Hills News, Downtown, and Quail Creek News. So we had five titles, and I had expressed an interest to Elizabeth that I thought I would be interested in writing for the magazine. And she didn't know me. We were complete strangers, and she asked me to send her a writing sample. And I really didn't have a professional writing sample that was longer than about 30 seconds, you know, for a radio or TV commercial. So I sent her a little story about spending a summer in Italy, which I know sounds like a lovely theme. But during the summer, immediately after I got there, I got a hemorrhoid. And it was the first time I've ever had a hemorrhoid. And
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that.
And, you know, I don't know a lot of people who would lead with that. But, and really, even fewer editors who would go, that's brilliant. But she loved that. It was all the way through. It was too much information. But this hemorrhoid, or the Euroroid, as it was named, had really taken over my life. And what do you do when you're in a foreign country and you have to, you know, tend to matters like that? So anyway, it became it just became the focus of the trip. And she contacted me immediately after she read this and said that people were coming into her office to find out what is she screaming out loud about. And she just said she cried, she laughed so hard. And she said, I definitely want you to contribute to the magazines. And it started then. And the entire time she was my editor, she was my biggest fan and a champion of my work. And she just encouraged me and made me feel like this is probably a good fit for me. And she never took away, as an editor, you think, well, I'll submit this and maybe some of it will stick. But she never lost my voice in what I handed her. So I feel like she's the one who invited me to the dance. And if it weren't for her, I don't know that I would be a professional writer outside of advertising.
That's a dream editor right there.
Yeah, yeah. She is great. She is great.
Marcy, have you ever had an editor like that who helped you out that much?
You know what, Ken? I feel that way about you.
Aww.
I know that they're going to edit this, cut
it. I promise this wasn't staged.
No, seriously. I know they're going to cut this out. But, you know, you lift me up just when I need to be lifted.
Oh, now, isn't that the nicest thing anybody could say about an editor?
Yeah, I think I've just turned red. no, I really appreciate that. And certainly any response I have to your work is genuine. I love reading your copy. I think you're just a great writer.
Yes, yes. She is an excellent writer.
So now this is a love-in, I guess.
Yes, that's right. Make sure not to edit that out.
You know, I did want to say one thing. When I was after I read the book and reviewed it, my overall impression was that despite it being a nonfiction work with lists and very factual points of information, it certainly does tell an exciting story of our city in its pages, with, you know, quiet heroes, obstacles, and their successes, everyone working to add their vision to this landscape. Did you ever think we'd have 100 premier memory-making experiences to offer, and actually much more, and the list would have to be painfully whittled to just 100?
Right, and narrowing it to 100 really, really is hard to do. I don't think of this as a complete list by any means. It's just 100 things to do. Maybe not the 100 things to do. There are countless things to do before you die in this city. This is just a snapshot of 100 of them. And I hope we all live to fill the bucket list with these. But, you know, when you talk about, did I think that the city would ever have such an exciting story to tell? My honest answer is, not in my lifetime.
Exactly.
Not in my lifetime. And I say that because I did not envision, and luckily I'm not a, you know, father of the city, you know. So because I did not envision this level of progress and, you know, just hipness. And the city has just, I feel like overnight that the city has completely come of age and is a legitimate destination, and, you know, I feel like we have found our feet. And so a good example of that, we talked about river sport a little earlier, but that is the perfect metaphor for Oklahoma City's evolution. I remember people writing to the editor of The Oklahoman and complaining that somebody needs to get down there and mow the river. And it was just, it was unsightly. This is the river that is now an Olympic training facility. And people come from all over the world to train on our river that was overgrown and all, you know, just unsightly. And right on our front porch. It was right by the interstate. So you could see all of that sort of neglect, or it, you know, it's just not the face you want to have forward in a city like that, especially on an interstate where people are crossing through. And I think that just that transformation is really representative of the transformation of the entire metro.
Yeah, I really think you're right. I mean, when you look at it now, we've got this boathouse district that we never had. We've got the Plaza District that's, you know, like the most hip place in town now. We still have the Paseo. We've got all these other areas springing up that just weren't there even 15 years ago.
Right, right. And, you know, 15 years ago, people were starting to come back to downtown, but it was not, you wouldn't hang out. You would come to downtown for a sporting event or maybe a concert, but you wouldn't hang out downtown on a Saturday. Bricktown had become a draw 15 years ago. I think they just had their 20th birthday, or they're celebrating 20 years. So people might go to Bricktown, but just the streets of downtown with all the cute retail shops and great little restaurants for lunch or having coffee, just anywhere where people will gather together. Oklahoma City's been void of that for so long. And just this weekend, my husband and I were, we were downtown, and we were just going to have lunch, do the quick book signing at Pliny Mercantile, and, then keep moving. We stayed the whole day. We went into, one shop after the next and thought, hey, as long as we're down here. And there were so many people out doing the same thing, just enjoying being downtown. There's so much going on, just even when there's not an event per se.
I mean, it's funny because while you were saying that, I looked out the window here and you see the trolley go by and you see a couple young people, moving down the street pretty fast on those electric scooters that we've got. Yeah, you know, those are things that really open up the downtown area and open up the city.
For all kinds
of activity.
Yeah, the streetcar. The streetcar that is exciting. It's fun to see them go by. I recommend taking the streetcar if you're going to do the brew crawl itinerary that I have in the book. And you can get to a lot of these little craft breweries via streetcar. I don't recommend the scooters if you're going to do the brew crawl.
Yeah. That's probably a good idea.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what is next for you, Lauren?
Well, I think after today, I'm interested in hosting a podcast.
Aren't you? I know, right?
I think we make a great team.
I think that we need to open up and do
live from Molly Murphy's.
Exactly. We need to start at Molly Murphy's again, and then we need to offer some sort of a pub crawl that has literary connections.
Yes.
Got to record live from Aishin's too.
Yeah.
Well, of course you do. Yes. That is your priority this weekend, I would say, is to get to Okarchi's. It's so easy to get out there too. It takes no time at all.
Well, I'm actually going to be spending the weekend across the street at the first annual Villain Arts Tattoo Convention here in Oklahoma City. So there's another thing you can come here and do.
Right. So this is the first time they've been in town.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had, the city has hosted tattoo conventions before, but Villain Arts is really sort of a national organization. They bring in a lot of famous tattoo artists and performers. I don't know if you remember, one of the most popular episodes of The X-Files was set around a carnival town, and there was one character on it called the Enigma, whose entire body was tattooed like puzzle pieces. Okay. Well, he calls himself a made freak. He can do things like pound nails into his nose and things like that. Uh-huh. But he's going to be here. He's going to be performing at this tattoo convention all weekend. So,
That started off like a Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that will be colorful, to say the least, the tattoo convention. I would love to see that. My daughter is having a birthday tomorrow, so we'll be in Tulsa. I'm going to miss the tattoo convention, but I hope they do come back, and I would love to see that.
Yeah, it should be fun.
I can pass out my tattoo removal business cards.
Well, folks, it looks like we're about out of time. It really has been so great having you both here. And I have to ask you to promise to come back and visit with me again on air sometime.
I would love that. Yes, thank you.
So that was Lauren Roth, author of 100 Things to Do in Oklahoma City Before You Die. Lauren, real quick, I want to let you go ahead and pitch your website.
Sure. Yeah. So the book is available locally at bookstores, wherever you buy books. It's also available at some local retailers. Blue 7 has got the book, Pliny Mercantile. And I will be at a book signing at Commonplace Books, which is another great entry on the list, on August 3rd. I'm not exactly sure what time, but it will be in the afternoon. So we'll keep everybody posted about that. And then if you just want to order the book online, my website is 100okc.com, and you can purchase it there. I think it's a great idea. If you're trying to get somebody to come to town, I think it's a great hook to get them to come to town. It's a great gift idea. And it's just great for inspiration about where do you want to eat? You know, that's always a...
Always the question.
Yes, it's always the question, or what do you want to do? So everything you want to eat or do is in this book.
Okay, so that's Lauren, and I've also been very fortunate to have Marcy Everhart here. In fact, Marcy has written a review of Lauren's book, so you can look for that both in print and online. So for Bookmarks and The Oklahoman, I'm Ken Raymond. Listen again soon.